I want to do something today that I have never done from the pulpit before, and that's have a teaching moment on the Trinity. It was well received by some at your sister church, and some said you need to stay away from that. But I'm going to do it one more time. We're going to try to learn a little about what our doctrine of Trinity means this morning. Many of you may have heard this story. It's about a little girl in Sunday school class who was drawing a picture, and she was using all of the crayons in her crayon box, all of the colors. And her teacher asked her, what are you drawing? She said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher said, but nobody knows what God looks like. To which the little girl replied, they will when I'm finished. And you know, that says a lot, and it makes some sense as to what we are expecting. This little girl was drawing a picture of God. And to us, to know what God is all about is one of our hopes, one of our expectations. This is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost, the day that the church and Christians historically celebrate one of the central beliefs, and that is of a triune God. The hymn that we sang when we started our worship says, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, the Trinity. God in three persons. God is three persons. Each person is divine, yet there's only one God. Normally we would use the word person as we understand it to mean a physical individual who exists as a separate being, as separate entity. But in God, there are three entities. There are not three beings. God is a trinity of persons consisting of one substance, of one essence. And within the single divine essence, there are three individual substances that we call persons. And each of these persons is completely divine in nature, yet each person is not alone. Each of these three persons are distinct from each other. The specific word Trinity is not found in the Scriptures. But this doesn't mean that the concept is not taught there in the Scriptures. In fact, the word Bible is not found in the Scriptures, but we use it. Likewise, the word omniscience, which means all-knowing, omnipotence, which means all-powerful, omnipresence, which means present everywhere. They are not found in the Scriptures, yet we use these words to describe the attributes of God. So, to say, as some cults do, that the Trinity is not true because the word Trinity is not in the Scripture is an invalid argument. I had a little conversation after service this morning with some of the folks at the other church, and we were discussing how that the Mormons don't believe in the Trinity. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the Trinity. So some of these cults or sects that call themselves Christian don't have the same belief, and it makes us different. Some dismiss the divinity of the Son and the Holy Spirit because there's a subordinate order in the Scriptures. We can see that the Father is first, the Son is second, the Holy Spirit is third. The Father is not begotten, But the Son is, John 3:16 tells us that. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, John 15 points that out. And in 1 John, the Father sent the Son. And then John goes on to say, the Son and the Father send the Holy Spirit. Isaiah tells us that the Father creates. Galatians says the Son redeems. And Romans says the Holy Spirit sanctifies. So we see a subordinate order. But that does not mean that each of the members of the Godhead are not equal or divine. An example of this is a king sends out a servant to do his will. But just because someone is sent doesn't mean they're different from the one who sent them. Critics of the Trinity will see this subordination as true proof that the Trinity is false. They reason that if Jesus were truly God, then he would not be subordinate to the Father in any aspect. But this objection is not logical. If we look at the analogy I just presented of the king and the servant, we cannot say that the servant was not human because he was sent. Being sent does not negate sameness or essence. The servant is still human, even though he was sent. Saying that there are three persons in the Godhead leads some people to think that there are three gods who work in partnership. This is called tritheism, or three gods. Or polytheism, many gods, as opposed to what we believe on monotheism, one God. You know, this is difficult. The doctrine of the Trinity is very difficult, but I think it's essential to our faith. Augustine, one of the greatest and early theologists of Christian faith, shared this insight included concerning the Trinity. And he said this, anyone who denies the Trinity is in danger of losing their salvation, and anyone who tries to understand it is in danger of losing their mind. And the truth is, there's a great mystery concerning the triunity of God. It took the church nearly 300 years to complete the wording of the Trinitarian orthodoxy, which produced the Nicene Creed. And many churches say that on Sunday morning. We'll be saying that in just a few minutes. If you are a Christian, the doctrine of the Trinity is central to your faith. And the foundation of a faith is built on the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The sense of Trinity is implicit throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. God is one in substance and three persons. And the Word of God is absolutely emphatic throughout the scriptures about God being one. One of the key verses in God's words, held as centrally sacred by the Jews and Christians, is Deuteronomy 6:4. The Jews call this the Shema. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Judaism and Christianity are both thoroughly committed to the belief of one God and one God alone. And that sets us apart from most of the other religions of the world. The first commandment that God gave to Moses was, "You shall have no other gods before me." God wasn't saying that he was to be the most important God on their list of gods. He was saying you're not even to entertain other gods because there are no other gods. But within that one God, within that one supreme being, there are three distinct persons. And this is revealed throughout the whole scriptures. It's revealed at the beginning and the end. Genesis 1:26 says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So what we have in Genesis is a revelation of the communion, the fellowship of the Godhead at creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. The Father, the first person of the Trinity, is God. And Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is God. Jesus is not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father. John 1:1 states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." There's no reputable Greek scholar that would translate this verse to read anything other than what John was declaring, that Jesus is God. And Jesus states it clearly himself. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." The Jewish people clearly understood what Jesus was saying in his proclamation, "I am." For God Almighty said to Moses, "Tell them, I am sent you." Jesus himself affirms that he is the I am, that he is God. So the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is God. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-present God. And we see scriptural evidence that the Holy Spirit is truly God. We're told that the words of God are words inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are called the temple of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit indwells in us. One born of the Spirit is said to be born of God. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Trinity, is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Now there's one other thing we need to make clear before I close out the sermon. There's a false belief called modalism. And I think we need to understand that as followers of Christ. Some very sincere Christians fall into this error without ever realizing that it is a heresy. Modalism basically states this: there is one God that manifests himself at different times in three different modes or three persons. Now, if we're not listening to that carefully, it sounds okay. But here's what it means. And it is a view that some Christians unwittingly hold. Modalists state God has appeared at three times. And at times it will be in the mode of the Father. For instance, it was the voice of the Father that spoke out of the burning bush to Moses. Other times they state that God appears as a Son. For instance, when he came in the mode of the Son and lived on earth for 33 years. And then there are others that state that God came in the mode of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what's wrong here? I hope you do. With modalism, you do not have three distinct persons. You have one person being revealed in three different ways. And that's not the historical belief of the church. The church believes there are three distinct persons of the Godhead coexisting together at all times. It's not one, then the other, and then the other. They coexist at all times. And modalism is easily shown to be wrong by just one scene out of the scriptures. And that's at the baptism of Jesus Christ. At the baptism of Jesus, all three persons of God are present at the same time. The Son is in the water being baptized, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and the Father's voice sounds from heaven. All three persons are present at the same time. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. I hope that this will clear things up for you a little bit, not complicate things. If you have any questions or want a copy of the sermon, I'll be glad to give it to you. But I hope this helps you understand the Trinity. There is one thing we need to remember in all of this. Remember that we are created in the image of God. God has never been without fellowship. Before he created anything, before there was a single angel or any other being, there was God. And he was not alone. When there was nothing but God, there was always fellowship. There was always the eternal communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are created in his image. We too desire fellowship. Fellowship with each other. And most of all, fellowship with the triune God. We worship the one and the only God. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity.